everyone. My name is Reeves, and we're talking today in my second part of the series about finding your voice when you hate networking. And so today we're going to talk about the force of one. Now, people ask me, you know, why do people hate networking? You know, why do you hate networking? You know, I hate it. Not, and I know that's a strong word to use, but I really do, from the standpoint that if you're somebody who's naturally outgoing, you're naturally an engaging individual, or you have a certain mindset that you understand this is a natural part of the flow of how you have to interact and connect and relationship build, then this might not be problematic. But if you're like me, who goes into places and who tends to be quiet, who tends to keep to themselves, then, you know, making those connections is annoying as hell. And there's three particular reasons why they're annoying. One, because they feel fake. Because I keep telling myself that doing this particular type of activity is not something I would naturally do. I mean, seriously, think about it for a second. I'm not going to naturally walk up to just some random person in an environment and say, hey, my name's Anthony, so what do you do? That's not a natural act for me. So guess what? And if I'm going to go into an area and I have to consciously tell myself that I have to engage people, because me engaging them will open up the opportunity for me to establish a relationship, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I don't know if I'm going to like that person or not. Why do I need to establish a relationship with that person? So there's a part of this that has me feeling like it feels kind of fake. Then there's kind of this fraudulent aspect to it, because going towards the fakeness and fraud, and they're probably about the same thing, you're doing this in your mind knowing that this is a person or persons you are hoping, or you're desirous that they're going to serve a particular purpose. You're hoping in your mind that by engaging them, you can create this relationship where there are opportunities that may present themselves, whether they be financially, professionally, whatever the case may be. But you yourself know that if that person is somebody that you ascertain fairly quickly may not be beneficial to you, then you're probably going to move on to the next person. I'm going to tell you, I've had times where I've been to mixers and talking to attorneys, or, you know, it's from a legal standpoint, and people will come up to me and they say, hey, what's your name? Oh, my name's Anthony. Oh, what do you do? And this is when I was practicing a particular area of law. And they're looking for particular attorneys because the compatibility of them getting referrals is what they're looking for. So the type of law that I do at the time was not the kind that naturally lent itself to a lot of great referrals. And the referral relationships were kind of, you know, the opportunity for fees weren't really great. Let me tell you how annoying it is when you're talking to someone and they're like, oh, okay, well, it's nice to meet you, man. You know, and all of a sudden they move on. That's annoying as hell. When somebody, they're literally basically ascertaining from talking to you that you can't serve them a purpose from a relationship standpoint or a financial standpoint, whatever the case may be, and so they're moving on to the next person. I get it. I get the game. I recognize it. It does not make it any less annoying. But the fact of the matter is that that is the nature of the beast that you're having. So it feels kind of fraudulent, because sometimes when you're going in, and I'm a person, I like to engage people so that I can start a relationship organically. So if we're cool like that, I want us to be cool going in the future. If you come at me and you basically address me as if I can do nothing for you based on a limited, finite conversation, I'm really going to tell you to get the hell away from me, because that's really going to annoy me. And I've had those scenarios where the person engaged me made the determination that I could not, the relationship with me would not be beneficial to them, and they moved on to someone else. And then re-engaged them later when they found out that I had relationships with others that could be beneficial, and then they wanted to re-engage. And I'm going to tell you, if you come at me like that, I'm going to be spectacularly stank. So if you're coming at me now, oh, now you see me. You didn't see me a second ago, so now you see me. So it's like that fraud aspect. Then the final part is it feels like it's forced. Let me tell you, if I know I am not naturally, and I've had this happen countless times, I am not a person who actively engages. And sometimes if I feel conscious of the fact that it's a forced conversation, I know that the other person is probably picking it up as well. And now, don't get me wrong, I like to think I'm a good actor. I can probably play it off as best of my ability. But I can tell you, if it feels forced, it probably looks like it's forced. So I don't want to feel like I'm sitting here making myself, what do you think about the Phillies? You know, you like football? You like baseball? Oh, you're a baseball fan. What's your favorite team? Oh, you like the Phillies? How are they doing this year? I hate baseball. So having a fake, forced, fraudulent conversation about a team just to develop a relationship with you serves no purpose for me. So if I'm talking to you and you come out of your neck and you're like, hey, you know, and you say something that I am into, boom, it feels cool. But if I feel like I'm forcing myself to have this conversation just in order to open those doors, then I'm going to tell you it's not going to come natural to me. Because let's be clear. For those of you who have not done it before, let me tell you what my philosophy is with regards to networking. Networking, and don't get me wrong, like I said before, there are people out there, this is their thing. Respect. This is their thing. In my mind, networking is a hope philosophy. And you're thinking hope. Yes, it's a hope philosophy because you're hoping. Now, let me pause before I go further, because there are going to be people who are going to say, well, you got to research and you got to make a determination of how a relationship with them will help you propel this particular thing. It's not a hope philosophy because you've ascertained what this particular person and their relationship with them and how you gauge it and how their relationship with them will enable you to elevate an aspect of your professional setting or your personal setting to a particular level. You already know in your mind that this person serves a particular purpose. Therefore, you're in relationship building with them with the intent in mind that this will take you to this next level. Respect. I got you. We're good. However, still a hope thing, because you're hoping that as a result of you starting this relationship with someone that you probably wouldn't have normally started it off to begin with, that it's going to move on to something else. You're hoping that the opportunity to work with you in a particular setting may be mutually beneficial to both of you, that individual continues to work with you or want to work with you in the future, bigger and better things, so that this way you can financially benefit yourself. And don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of opportunities and examples where that has. You're hoping that this is going to be something that's going to be beneficial to you both. All that is a hope philosophy, because anything you start organically, those things you don't have to worry about hoping, because they tend to happen on their own. So I'm a big person where I say, you know, when you're talking about networking, my thing that drives me nuts is the fact that it operates under this hope philosophy. You can't guarantee it's going to do that. You can't guarantee that as a result of your interaction with this particular individual, that they're going to naturally take the opportunity to remember you when an opportunity presents itself to be financially beneficial to you. Now, don't get me wrong. We often like to rely on this whole notion of how people at their core are financially. At their core, people want to make money. So you're saying to yourself is that I hope this person sees I have the ability to make money for them, because I see them as having the opportunity to make money for me. And we both want to make money. So that's going to be enough so that we can think about each other in the forefront in terms of working going forward. And let me be clear, when you're doing that, you got to work it. I mean, think about it. The people, when you're trying to establish a relationship with someone too, so that you can be in the forefront of their mind, that means you got to work every aspect of it. You've got to email them. You've got to call them. You've got to mail them. You've got to send them things in the mail. You've got to email them. You've got to send them letters. You've got to do constant, meaningful contact on a sustained basis so that they can constantly remember you, so that if something presents itself where they see the opportunity for both of you to make money, you come to the forefront of their mind. That's what you're pushing for. That's what you're hoping for. That's what you're thinking is going to happen. And let me tell you something. There are people out there who are awesome in that right. They know exactly how to work that to the maximum. And so when they're using these things and these skill sets, they know how to maximize using them to such a degree that it enables them to be able to maximize their relationships with these people. And to the point where they are able to work them to the point where these people will constantly think about them. No shame in their game, hands down, beyond a doubt. So with that, my philosophy is sometimes you want to create your own network And what kind of people do you want to put in your network? A force of one. Let me tell you why that can work really well for you. Now, this is going to sound silly. When I describe somebody as being a force of one, what I'm effectively talking about is not just having one person. So I need you to get that out of your mind. That's not what I mean by a force of one. What I'm saying is having ones or individuals in your life who are committed to you. And those are people who normally you've already met them in anyway. They have a vested and dedicated interest in your overall success because they know you, they have experiences with you, they have a relationship with you, and hopefully in a lot of cases they like you and probably even love you. So these people may not always fit into the nice, neat category of somebody that's in your niche in terms of the type of things you're doing. But these are people, for whatever reason, their enthusiasm level and their energy level for doing things for you is completely off the chart. So let's talk about them one at a time in terms of the three things that you need to be aware of. First, you are the first thing in their mind. I can tell you when I used to practice law, I used to get all kind of referrals from different people who I knew, who knew me, knew I was practicing, knew I had my own law firm, and wanted me to succeed. I mean, so whenever something popped into their mind, they would be like, do you do this area law? Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? And you're sitting here going, good Lord. But see, what happens is that it's easy to get annoyed by that, to say, oh my God, they're constantly blowing up my phone. But then you pause for a second and say to yourself, wait a minute, they are always thinking about me. See, the problem with the other thing when you're trying to develop a relationship with somebody that you normally wouldn't talk to about if for whatever reason, you're having to do things consistently over a long period of time in order to create an environment where you're first in their mind with regards to whatever it is that you're doing with them. But the people who are a force of one, they're a force because of my three F's. And the first one is that because, one, you're the first thing in their mind. They think about you like that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they wake up in the middle of the night and they get up in the morning when they're brushing their teeth and say, ooh, let me think about Reeves today. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is you have already established a relationship with them. They have a committed interest in you because they know you. They got you. You they boy, you they girl. They love you to death. They have been through a few things with you. Y'all down like four flat ties. And so guess what? They want you to succeed. So they, unfortunately, in some instances, they don't necessarily know what they can do to help you succeed. But let me tell you what they know they can do. They can always do things to let you know that they're thinking about ways to help you succeed. So the first thing about a person who is a true force of one is that this one person, and it can be a variety, like I said, it's multiple ones, but one is the person, you know these people when you meet them. These are the person who always is running to you telling you, okay, how about this? How about this? Those people I like. Why? Because you can condition those people. And you're like, what do you mean by condition? You can condition them in terms of educating them in terms of how they can help you. And you're thinking, what do you mean? I mean, seriously. What I mean, and this is where it's very, very important as a professional. If you know the parameters, like for instance, as an attorney, so most states have an issue against solicitation. So we're always big about no. We don't need you to act as a solicitor for us and so forth. That's because that's unethical and that'll get us into trouble and so forth. But what you can do, you can educate them as to how they could be of assistance to you to give you a greater exposure. So that goes to my second F. They're finding things for you. So if they're like, well, I can go find you some clients. No, I don't need you to go find me some clients. That's not ethical with regards to the legal practice. Like I said, other areas, it may work great for you. If you had your own body shop, you're a dentist and so forth like that, that may not matter. But I'm just talking about it from my context. But what I'm saying is that you can condition them. So guess what ends up happening? These are the persons who are going to be like, oh, well, you know, they're having a professional presentation for various professionals at my church. Can I put you on the list so that you can come and tell people, introduce yourself? Sure. Guess what? I have participated in something like that where I had somebody say, hey, Reeves, you do this area of law, don't you? I said, yeah. We're looking for an attorney who does that area of law. Would you mind coming speaking to my church? I was like, sure. Trust me when I tell you, I didn't know the name of this church. It was in a different county. I know nothing about this program. It was a program that was highly publicized in a very, very particular city, a larger city in a neighbor. It was in Lakeland, I believe. And I did not maneuver in Lakeland. At the time I maneuvered in Tampa, and then I maneuvered in Kissimmee when I was there. So I was maneuvering in areas where I wouldn't have known about that if it was not for the fact that I had had conversations with a few friends of mine who happened to be in this area, who knew the kind of law that I was doing, who literally was like, is this something that you could participate in? I'm like, sure. It's like, you know, I don't mind coming and speaking. And I got a few cases out of that, literally out of a situation where someone talked to me who they knew me, and I conditioned them accordingly in terms of explaining to them how the bar governs what I can and can't do, so that this way I don't do anything that puts my license in jeopardy, and they don't do anything to put my license in jeopardy. But they also knew to keep an eye out for things where I may be able to give exposure to myself to create my own opportunities. And that's what ended up happening. I had that happen two or three times. Like, I had a friend of mine who said, listen, we're hosting, we need an MC. We'd like you to, why don't you be the MC? Because this way in our souvenir book, we can indicate that you're there and that in the name of your law firm, and we can introduce you in terms of saying, you know, the type of law you're doing. Again, big venue. I had no idea this event even existed. I wouldn't have known had they not taken the opportunity to find it for me. And so somebody who's truly a force of one and a force of nature for you, one, you're always the first in their mind. Two, they're mindful as well, as long as you do a great job of educating them accordingly about what the parameters of what they can do to assist you if they are passionate about assisting you, because that's the biggest thing about it, is they're passionate. Not only are you first in their minds, but they're also going to be the first ones who are going to identify opportunities for you that you probably didn't even realize, even if they're completely outside of the vein of what you do for a living. Which then takes me to the last part in terms of the third thing with regards to the person being a force of one. They'll fight for you. And what do I mean by fight for you? I can tell you a true story. One of my dear friends, I love her to death, Gwen. I've known Gwen for over 20 plus years. And good God, we're knocking on 30. And I laugh because I always know whenever she refers me a case, back in the day when she would refer me cases, and I would get them every now and then, she would school the hell out of those people. She made it very clear, do not waste my man's time. Don't waste my man's time. Don't blow up his phone. He's got a wife who's running his office. Don't give her a hard time. And if I hear that you gave him any of the hard time, you and I are going to have a problem. And I loved it. And let me give you a further reason why this was even more powerful. Because there were a period of time when I ran my law firm. My wife was my office manager, and she used to hate referrals from attorneys, hated them. Because a lot of times, again, going back to that original relationship, they're looking, this is a case I made some money on. Oh, they're going to apply for this. Maybe they need some additional resources. I'll refer them to my boy Reeves. If he makes some money, I can make a couple of dollars over there. And so what ended up happening is that we would get people, we had to drop a few of them like that, where they would come to us and we weren't always informed of what kind of person we were getting. And so, meaning, you know, a lot of times they came and whatever their experience was that with that old firm, with the other firm, whether it was positive or negative, they brought that with them. And sometimes it was not always a sexy endeavor. Why would it be? And so, again, at that particular point, again, there is no expectation when it's just basically you establishing a relationship for business purposes and you have no real definitive connection other than that, that's what ends up happening. Well, guess what? When the people in your life that are a force of one are fighting for you, they know that when they send somebody your way, that is also a reflection on them as well. And they know you because they know how much you're grinding to do what you're doing. So guess what? they ain't gonna be sending you anything raggedy, and they're gonna put those people in check. I can tell you the number of times that I've had friends of mine call me on the phone, Reeves, check it. This person's gonna call you. I done got them right. I told them to let that if they act a fool, to let me know. And so I'm like, okay. And almost every time, like clockwork, none of them acted a fool. Not once. Bang on that. That's just the way it gets down. And so I often tell people that when you have those people in your life who are like that, you're first in their mind. They're going to find things for you within the scope of the parameters that you've established for them, and they're going to fight to ensure that you get those things that truly benefit you and not waste your time. And when I keep saying a force of one, and for those of you who are like, why are you saying a force of one? There's a martial arts movie called Force of One with Chuck Norris that I always like. But the force of one is effectively saying sometimes what happens is that one person committed to your interest is much more powerful than 100 people that you hope will be committed to your interest. So what does that mean for you going forward? Here's the takeaway from it. In your life, when you're running your businesses or you're going through your professional endeavors, you're going to find that you're going to have a variety of people who are going to be the first in their mind when they're thinking about you, who are going to do things to find things on your behalf, and who are going to fight to ensure that you get the benefits that you desire. Start paying attention to that circle of people that you have around you who are like that. Pay very, very close attention, because what you're going to find is that over time, instead of having a network of 10 or 20 people that you don't know nothing about and hoping that it's going to benefit you, you're going to have all these different onesies and twosies that now become your intimate network of force of one people who literally will do everything that you need them to do to put you in a better position, as opposed to trying to start off something from scratch. Now, let me be clear when I say this. I am not saying that you shouldn't actively network with individuals using the normal chain of activity that you see. Meet somebody, meet and greet. Hey, how your mama doing? What's good? What's good? Give me your card. Give me your number. Let's go out to eat for lunch one time. Got a couple of tickets here. You might want to meet me for a game. Great. Nothing's wrong with that. And again, that is the normal practice that you're going to probably find in a lot of networking environments. But what I am saying is this, is that never underestimate the power of those persons who are committed to you, even if they are not in your career field. Because the reality is that every one of the people who I know who have sent people my way, teachers, healthcare professionals, plumbers, doctors, whatever the case may be, the simple fact of the matter is that they had a committed, vested interest in fighting for me, finding things for my benefit, and they always kept me first in their mind. You can go so much further with the network of people that you've already created yourself over your lifetime than killing yourself trying to get somebody that you've met for the first time who doesn't really know you, with the hope they get you to where you want to be. My name is Reeves, everyone. I hope that was beneficial to you. We've got one more coming up here, and I definitely think you'll enjoy that one. And again, stay blessed, stay in the know, and stay safe. Oh, oh,